been back in the book of Genesis, chapter 38. I'm on this series about the God of the second chance. And I kind of want to carry on from last time I spoke 2 weeks ago. We had, I believe, a tremendous service here last Sunday morning with our evangelist, prophetic woman here from Australia. It was like the thunder from down under with Susie Tapp. God did good things, I know, among us. There were some things that was a blessing to your life. I know we received some reports of healings taking place and posted and confirming words happening as well. And so we're also even praying over the words that are spoken over a Tree of Life Church, so those things may come to pass as well. But also that divine impartation would be increasing among us, because you really want to embrace what the Holy Spirit wants to do among us every time we come together, and then take that out there on Mondays through Saturdays in the streets, highways, and byways. Amen? And so I'm talking this morning here about a church of the second chance, because I believe every local church that God raises up is like a net that God wants that net to have no gaps and no holes in that, able to receive every kind of fish or crab or spiny or sharp pinching thing that God may bring in, and that net will not tear nor will it rip the harvest that God brings in. One of the words that came out to us again last week in the prophetic realm with Susie Tapp's ministry was that God's going to be sending us more and more broken people in this congregation. And again, sometimes broken people are kind of like those folks. They've got those pinchers and those sharp teeth. I've caught some fish sometimes to you guys several years back, years and years ago, when Sarah was a little girl. We were fishing in the bayous of Louisiana out there by Lake Charles area. And she pulls up a gar about this long, and gar have got great big sharp teeth, alligator gars, got an alligator mouth. And she says, "This thing scares me. Throw it back in." And then she throws her line in again and pulls out a big old yellow crab. And that thing's got pinchers, of course, and wants to throw that back in again. Sometimes when you go fishing, you may catch some things with some sharp teeth and claws, but God helps us declaw and de-teeth, or tooth people, like, amen? And take off some of the rough edges by the power of the Holy Spirit. If we could just have the patience to get through the flesh and through the faults and see the need, God will help us to see that those fish become the fish that God's called them to be, because they're all disciples of Christ. Amen? That's why that very picture of discipleship is a fish that Jesus Christ has given to us. So we looked 2 weeks ago about a young man at that time whose name was Jacob, about how Jacob was born into a family with his own father Isaac, grandson of Abraham, the husband of Leah and Rachel, the birther, the father of all the 12 tribes of Israel. His name means supplanter, means deceiver, it means liar. His name was so negative, when God got a hold of his heart and God changed his heart, he actually changed his name from Jacob the deceiver to Israel the friend of God. God will also get a hold of our hearts and change our hearts and change our names into the name he wants us to have if you have the wrong name. Amen? We see throughout the entire Bible, God did that time and time again, change people's names to now identify their new heart, not their old man. Praise God that God does it. God is a God of the second chance. He's also said that Jacob actually deceived his own brother, his own father, received his brother's birthright, deceived his dad into blessing him, laying hands upon him to release that blessing to him of the firstborn. We see how he also became so hated by his own brother. His brother wanted to kill him. And also he found himself lusting after the women in his own kind of pagan land he was at. And his own mom and dad said, "We don't want him to receive a wife from this place. Let him go to our own relative in a place called Haran. Let him leave Beersheba and go to Haran, go to Laban the uncle, hopefully find a godly Jewish woman there and not find himself marrying some pagan person in this land." Also, Esau was consulting himself, the Bible says, with a way to kill him and take his life. So we said 2 weeks ago that God actually sets things up to where on the way to going to Haran, he finds himself going to a place where God does a transforming work inside of his heart. But then God moves him from the transforming heart change, from being self-centered and being deceiving to being on fire for God, into Laban's house. And we said that Laban was actually a master deceiver. The thing that gripped and controlled Jacob's heart, God made sure he put Jacob right in the middle of a man's house. There was actually a third-degree black belt in deception and lies and being deceitful. And we said there again that God did not do that to help Jacob become more trained in deception and more trained in lies, but to actually take and go through a testing ground to show him, first of all, this is what your life will end up like if you let yourself be bound by deception the rest of your life. He could see how Laban was bitter. He was angry. He was full of all kinds of vices, because deception and lies only will bring bad things into your life. But also, God began to test Jacob's heart to see, now that I've delivered you from lies and deception, can you now live in a place surrounded by lies and deception and not fall back into that bondage and iniquity once again? You'll find that whatever God delivers you from, God will test you in your deliverance. The good news is, no temptation will come to you by God's hand, even that you don't have a way of escape when it comes your way. Amen? How many can say here today, you've seen how sometimes God delivers you of something, and then God puts you in a place to find a temptation of that exact same iniquity, but this time you have the power by God's grace to say no, and use verses and use the Bible and the Word of God to say no to it and turn around like Joseph did to Potiphar's wife and run the other way. Amen? So realize, when you get delivered, you will be tested by the very thing you were actually bound by, but you will overcome in Jesus' name. Amen? Let's get a good amen for that. I believe it's true. So Genesis chapter 38, let's read here again, verses 10 through 11. Read this 2 weeks ago. I want to rehearse this a bit before I go further on into this message. It says, now Jacob went out from Beersheba, went towards Haran. So he came, it says here, notice this, to a certain place. That's what we talked about 2 weeks ago, the certain place. He stayed there all night long because the sun had set. He took one of the stones of that place, put the stone at his head for a pillow, and he lay down in that place to sleep on the stone. That certain place, we said, is also in the Hebrew language, it actually means a set apart place. It means a holy place. It means a special place ordained by God himself. It normally comes to us totally unawares. Many of our youth that are here this morning went to youth camp a few weeks ago. Many of them had no idea what God would speak to them, what God would do in them in that youth camp in Dallas, Texas. So totally unawares, God will sometimes zap you and do things for you with a message, a prayer, or some divine coincidence that totally blows you away, but is exactly what you need to have happen in your life to get a heart change take place in your life. I'm here to say you've been to a certain place where God caught you unawares. Amen? God is in the surprising business, and God only does good things. And we praise God for that. Amen. So God brings you into this place, into a divine encounters that will come to you unexpectedly and change your heart for the better. Jacob is so surprised, he encounters the goodness of God in this certain place and not the wrath of God. He thought in his own mind, if God encounters me, he's going to point out all my sins, all my failures, all my deceitfulness, all the things I've done to rip my brother off and make my dad unhappy and hurt my family. To his surprise, what God does is God says, your name is Jacob. And you shall be a blessing, and you shall be blessed, says the Lord. I will bring increase to your life. I'm going to increase the fruit of your loins. I'm going to increase your families. I'm going to bless families down the road. I'm going to give you riches and honor and favor, and I'm going to give you kingdoms. And all these great good things God speaks over Jacob's life. He doesn't mention one sin Jacob committed back in times past. That's what God does. God's goodness leads us to repentance. And the word repentance does not mean to turn from sin. It means a change of mind, a change of heart. God deals with your mind and your heart. When that change takes place, he'll deal with sins then as part of repentance. But sin does not just mean return from repentance, from sin only. Repentance means a change of mind and a change of heart. And Jacob goes through this. So how does that apply now to us today? Let's read on now to Genesis 38, verse 16. Goes on and says, then Jacob awoke from his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. Notice this again, it says, and I did not know it. He was afraid. He said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Now again, it says he was in the place, a certain place, the holy place of God, but he did not perceive, or he did not know it. Many folks realize that many times you come into a place like this, Tree of Life Church, on a Sunday morning, and some folks around you are actually embracing, sensing, feeling God's presence, but you feel nothing. Because sometimes we don't really realize and know God is in this place. God is working among us. God's presence is here with us. Some folks sense that, and some folks don't. And what God is saying to us is, be people who come into places like this on Sunday mornings expecting to have a divine encounter with the living God. Because where two or three come together in Jesus' name, there is He in the midst of them. Jesus Christ is here right now Himself by His Spirit among us. That is reason to rejoice and give praise and thanks to Him every time we come together. All of our angels have come together. We're here in Jesus' name, and God is releasing His glory here among us, and God is worthy of praise and honor when we come together in times like this with God's help. Amen? So this indicates to us again that God has organized places on the earth that He calls the house of God, but He also calls them gateways to heaven. I said 2 weeks ago that every local church that God's established is a gateway to heaven that is called the house of the Lord. Now, I realize again that this is a building made of sheetrock, so forth and so on, but this building has got is a place where God brings forth a corporate gathering of His people, and where God's folks gather together, there's a divine anointing takes place that you will not find by yourself on your own. It's called a gateway to heaven. It's called a place, a porthole, where God shows up in special ways and brings forth special faith and does special works, and God brings forth life, and God brings forth strength, and God brings forth good things. This is a gateway to heaven, and God's put these gateways all over the world today that are called local churches. Amen? And that's why Hebrews says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, because those who do that only harm themselves. It's always a blessing when the body of Christ comes together in Jesus' name, because He's in the midst of us. It's a gateway to heaven. I'm going to explain that more and more as I go along today. We need to find ourselves also as being the house of God, being a gateway of heaven, and a place positioned for divine encounters, and also positioned for heart changes, and also positioned there for God to commission us into the work of the Lord by God's grace. As Loretta spoke this morning here about the Shepherd's Heart Ministry, maybe some of you guys were actually pricked inside your own hearts. This, you're saying, I would like to do something like that to help out myself. That is a working and a nudging of the Holy Ghost that you'll find will take place in services like this that are gateways to heaven, because God loves people so much. He wants to touch your heart to reach them by His grace. The good news is you cannot outgive God. Anything you do to serve people around you, God will always give more back to you than even He gives to them. Is that true, Loretta? Richard, whatever those guys have given out, they can say themselves they receive much more back every time. You cannot outgive the Lord. You believe that? Amen. So we said last time also, it's not a matter of how people, again, how they got here. It's not a matter of folks not knowing if God's here or not. The main thing is when we come together, God knows He's here. Maybe you don't know that God's here, but God knows He's here. And so God will do divine coincidences in your life to get you in a service like this morning, because God knows you need this. And God knows He's here, and God knows your heart, and God brings you here by His Spirit that He might do a divine work in your life in a certain place at a certain time, in Jesus' name. Amen. So in God's mercy, He has put these gateways all over the earth. And in fact, Jesus Christ again said to us, where two or three come together in My name, I am right there in the midst of them as well. Read Matthew 16 sometime. You'll see Matthew 16, the familiar verse there. Jesus Christ said, I will build My church, and it says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So hell has gates, but heaven also has gates. And heaven's gates have already overcome the gates of hell. I will build My church, My people, and the gates that are defensive of hell will not prevail over it. I don't care how many chips we get in our foreheads or our hands in the end of the days ahead. I don't care how many bombs that are nuclear happen all over the world here. God is still in control of this world. And He says the gates of hell will never prevail over My people as long as there is seed time and harvest and the earth endures. My people shall overcome in My name. You got to believe that and know that. Every single thing Satan can do or has done is already under the blood of Jesus Christ. and those gates that are of hell that are defensive shall be broken through, and Jesus Christ shall manifest to destroy the works of the devil, as only he can do. Let's read now also Isaiah 61, 62, verse 1. 62, verse 1 of Isaiah. We are a church of the second chance. And I want to see God bring people in here that are broken, that are sometimes even angry and bitter, that have gone through religious hurts and wounds, because God wants to heal them. God wants to set them free. God wants to transform their lives. I want to see the sick. I want to see diseased folks coming in this place here, laying hands on them and seeing them healed, delivered, and set free in Jesus' name. I want to see folks that are blind in the realms of relationships. I want to see their eyes open up and their love come back for their wives and their fathers and their husbands and their sons and daughters once again, because God does that by the power of His Spirit. And Isaiah 62, verse 1 says, "For Zion's sake, I will not hold back my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns." And throughout the entire Bible, Zion is always a type of the church of Jesus Christ. And Jerusalem is always a type of God's people throughout the entire earth. And it says here, and of these people, it says in the Bible, "My eyes are on it and my heart is in it as long as they're on the face of this earth." God's eyes are on it and God's heart is in it. You know, again, I told you guys, they've been here for a long time. Years back, in early 1980s, when Bob Dylan received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, rock star Bob Dylan's fiance went to Christ for the Nations Bible School. And through her influence, she brought him on campus secretly, and he stayed there and got discipled for 6 weeks on CFNI's campus. And every day I would take, and I'd see him in the chapel in the mornings, there'd be about 20 Christian groupies around him, sitting on the chairs in front of him, behind him, beside him, just in awe. The rock star Bob Dylan is here among us. And what I can observe, though, is this. Those guys never got very near to him. They might pat him on the back and say, "I appreciate you," like I did myself. And he might say back to them, "Well, I appreciate you," in a real short smile and grin there. Only those who actually became friends or were friends of his fiance ever got near to him. You see, those who were pleasing to his fiance became pleasing to him. Those his fiance said to go get counsel from, get discipleship from, those are the ones Bob Dylan spent time with. And what God is saying is, whatever I am impressed with, whatever I love, get near to that. Sow into that. Be pleased with that. And the Bible says God loves his church. God loves local churches, and God is pleased with his people. So God is saying, honor my people, sow into my people, do good for my people, love my people, and by doing that, you will please me. And when you please me, you'll be able to spend better time with me, says the Lord. Amen? You believe that? So God is saying, let's honor each other, love each other, and respect each other in Jesus' name. Isaiah 62, going on to verse 10 now, says this. Go through the gates. Notice that, the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Take out, notice this, the stones. Lift up a banner for the peoples. This goes right along with what Jesus said when he said, compel them to come in. Jesus is saying here, the Holy Spirit is saying here in Isaiah 62, he's saying, build up highways by removing stones of blockages. One main word that God spoke to me about this message today is he wants to remove some stones out of some people's lives that they might have a smoother path to lead people to Jesus Christ. How many folks know that you cannot impress your coworkers if you come out here on Monday morning baptized in pickle juice, looking angry and sad and depressed, and you want them to receive your Jesus as Lord and Savior? Man, I want what you've got. You look real mad and angry and bitter, and you're ticked off all the time. I want to be like you are. Who do you serve? Who's your God? I want to bow my knee. No. People need to see the joy of the Lord, which is your strength on your life. Amen? God wants us to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, full of joy and peace and righteousness in Jesus' name. All three things must be there to expand the kingdom of Almighty God. Okay. So, Isaiah 60, verse 11 goes on and says, therefore your gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the Gentiles, that's those that are unsaved, that are lost and need Christ as Savior, and their kings also in procession. The question is again, how can we see the gates open up 24/7? Because it says here, I want the gates opened continuously that lead people to God's kingdom as a gateway to heaven. Well, very simply, it means that us using our giftings, not just here, but out there. You can lay hands on the sick out beyond this church service and see folks get healed and set free. Amen? It also means those who are going to bless others financially. You can sometimes buy somebody's meal, pay for their electric bill, take care of some needs they have financially, or maybe help them out with your own hands, repair things in their house, use your mechanical skills for something good, your computer skills to fix their computer perhaps. God is saying those things take place to bless people around you. It might mean sharing the gospel, the good news. Ask God to give you the way to have opportunities there to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with your neighbors, your co-workers, those around you, your friends and loved ones that need Christ. How can I share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ on a daily basis? It also means praying. The Bible says pray without ceasing. What that means is be open to pray for anything God puts in your heart to pray about 24/7. Say, Father God, put a person in my heart today that you want me to pray for, or a need anywhere in the world, put it in my heart, oh God, and I'll pray for that. It may be 30 seconds, it might be 10 seconds. The main thing is God hears your prayer, and God is still answering prayer. It also may mean praise and worship. Praise and worship says, enter into my gates with thanksgiving in your heart. Enter into my courts with praise. So I encourage you, play praise music. Play worship music. Sing to it. Open your own mouth up. Amen. And praise and glorify the name of Jesus Christ every day of your life. That's how we keep the gates open continuously. The gateway of heaven. Whatever God does here today, may God carry it beyond this place, and may his gates be opened up continuously in Jesus' name. Amen. You see that? Here I met somebody before that says, I love God, but I hate going to local churches. If you're someone that says something like that, what they're saying is they love God, but they were hurt in a local church. And now there's a wound and a bruise in their heart that shut them down from the body of Christ that meets together under the commandment of God's Spirit. I want to remind you guys, the first thing those who were trained by Jesus Christ did, they got baptized in the Holy Spirit with the power of God. Then they formed a local church in Jerusalem. And then they began birthing other local churches at the direction of Jesus Christ. The local church is God's idea. It is not man's idea. Now, man's made a mess in some ways, perhaps in some situations. But the local church is God's idea, not man's idea. And this, and the church will prevail till Jesus Christ comes back. Now, I want to let you understand this one thing. That is the church. God refers to the church in three ways. He says the church is a house, the church is a family, and the church is also a body. It's a house, it's a family, it's a body. How many folks know that all three of these things have one thing in common, and that is they are not perfect? My house is not perfect. Ask Cheryl. There are some loose planks on my back fence. There's some things that don't work right. My attic ladder is still half broken. I got some things that make some weird noises in our car and even in our house perhaps as well. There are some stains and spots, I'm sure, somewhere because of our dog on our carpets upstairs as well. My house and your house is not perfect. But God says my church is like a house. But he also says my church is like a family. How many folks can say today that your family, your entire family, is perfect? You've got one liar here today. No, not one liar. I can see you right now on the front row here. My house, my family is not perfect. Now, they talk about me sometimes. I talk about them also there. But I'm saying every one of us has something in our family, uncles, aunts, cousins, nephews, nieces, whatever in-laws or whatever sons and daughters are there. They are not perfect people. But God says my church is like perfect. a family. The last thing is, God says, my church is like a body. Who would say today that your body is perfect? Nobody's going to lie on that one either. You know, way back in our 20s, perhaps, late teens, our bodies were almost perfect. But I can tell you, as time goes by, the years go by, metabolism slows and gravity takes over there, we realize our bodies are not perfect. But God says, my church is like a body. And what God was trying to say to us was, my church is not perfect, but it's the best I have on the earth. And I will build up the church. And upon this rock of revelation that Peter himself gave, I will build my church. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the King of kings. He's Lord of lords. He's ruler and head over all the church. And upon this revelation, this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell, though it's imperfect, will not prevail against it. Amen. We serve a God of mercy. We serve a God of grace. And we serve a God of a second chance, even for believers on the earth. Aren't you glad about that? God's not looking for perfection from us. God's looking for obedience and submission and brokenness and character changes in our hearts that brings forth life and strength. Let's go on now to Psalms 100. Psalm 100 verses 1 through 4, different verses here about the gates. Psalm 100 verses 1 through 4 says, make a joyful shout to the Lord. Did that this morning. All you lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, not ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving in your hearts. Enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Enter into his gates with what? With thanksgiving in your hearts. Do you have anything today you can give thanks to God for? For this week, this year, this lifetime. There is so much to thank God for. You can start with your own body and go no further than your heart itself and say, I thank God my heart is strong. I thank God my heart works. I thank God blood pumps through my heart freely and strongly, and I'm alive because my heart is working right now. Your very heart's where you start out. Then you say, look at these clothes. I thank God I have clothes. I thank God these clothes are paid for. I thank God these clothes don't have a lot of holes in them besides the sleeves. Amen? I thank God that I can find the right clothes. I can go to a place and buy clothes. I'm in a nation where I can get good clothes. You can go on beyond that. You see your family, your neighbor, your spouse. I thank God for my wife, my husband, my son, my daughter. All things around us, God says, in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If we start giving thanks to God every morning first, our day gets set a whole lot better the rest of the day. There's always something to thank God for. No matter how rotten your life may seem today, there's always more to thank God for than complain against. Amen? So, let's read now Psalm 84, verses 10 and 11. More verses here. Psalm 84, 10 and 11 says, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper, a gatekeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the dwellings and tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Look at these benefits God tells us to the upright to come into his presence. It says here again, it says, the Lord God will be a sun. What's that mean? Every bit of darkness inside of our lives will flee at the speed of light. When God's presence shows up, only light can be there. All darkness must be exposed, dealt with, and broken in Jesus' name. He also says there, I'll be a shield. These gateways of heaven called local churches, I believe, bring forth a corporate anointing to bring divine protection to your life. I believe God will guard you from sickness and disease and poverty and ignorance and bad decisions. If you have ears to hear, God will give you a protective shield around your mind and your heart and your being that no fiery dart of Satan can penetrate. Do you believe that? He said, I'm also going to be to you grace. And grace is, again, God's goodness at Christ's expense. And grace says, again, you make mistakes, you mess up, but I give you forgiveness anyhow for those who call upon my name. By grace are you saved through faith. Those who call upon the name of God, grace is ours. In places like this, there's a grace anointing among us that may convict you of sin, that may convict you of things being healed inside your body, but his grace is a power that brings forth death to the powers of darkness and wipes out sins as well, as only God can do. But he also says, I'm going to give my glory. My people come together in gateways of heaven. What's the word glory mean? The word glory in the Hebrew language is the word kabod. Remember that one evil son that was born, I think, to Eli? They named him Ichabod. Ichabod means, it means no. And kabod means glory. It means no glory. It means the glory has departed. When we come together, the glory comes upon us. And the glory of God is the substance that fulfills the heart cry of mankind. We've all got a vacuum inside of our heart, the shape of Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can fill that vacuum. And the glory of God is that filler of our hearts that makes all contentment, all peace, all joy, all of heaven come to us. The very nature of God being formed in us comes by the glory of God being revealed to us and coming on us in services like this. And God is saying, when we come together in Jesus' name, you're going to receive the sun and the shield and the grace and the glory of Almighty God when we come together. I believe that. I receive that. Do you, in Jesus' name. We need to all become gatekeepers in this place. Those of you that have gone through in the past on newcomers' luncheons, we show the vision for our house, our church. It's a picture of a house with many rooms. The rooms are, one room is called the apostolic room, the prophetic room, the evangelistic room, the pastoral room, the teacher's room, the worship room, the prayer room, the treasure room, and the healing room. All these rooms have one thing in common. They all have doors to them. And all you that are here this morning, I've got some of these giftings in your life today. The apostolic gifting means you have the ability to govern. You can see how to bring order to businesses, churches, organizations. You got governmental anointing on you. Prophetic means you see what God sees. You speak what God speaks. You have the mind of God. You're a seer, a discerner. You're prophetic. You're hearing God's voice. Evangelistic means you're a far-reaching one who only sees lost people who need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but you also see needs of healings and deliverance. You're evangelistic. Those involved in pastoral anointings are those who only see hurts and wounds and bruises and broken people, and they see ways to get them bound up, healed up, and set free and become sound and healthy sheep once again. Amen? Those that are teachers only see empty heads that need to get filled up. And all they want to do is teach out. They receive revelation, illumination, and they say, please, oh God, give me more information, revelation, illumination to fill these empty heads up in Jesus' name and change their lives by that. You that are worshipers, all you see is God's glory, God's presence, what God's praise does, what God is worthy of in worship. And you want to see the worship team and people all giving thanks to him in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name. You that are prayer warriors, you realize what prayer does. You realize God listens to our prayers, God answers prayer, and God moves nations by prayer, and God changes hearts by prayer. You that are involved in treasure, that means you understand finances and debts and investing and 401k plans. You care about people's futures in the realms of giving and tithes. You understand what tithing means, what tithing does, almsgiving and so forth, and offerings. The last one there is healing. You haven't got a healing anointing inside your life. You have great faith that there's no sickness, no disease that God has not paid the price for by his own son, Jesus Christ. You believe that no sickness, no disease cannot be healed by the power of God. And you want to see people get healed. Not just their bodies, but also their souls. They've been beaten, wounded by parents, by teachers or mentors. God wants to heal their hearts, and you want to see their hearts healed as well. What I'm saying is, you are in these rooms somehow, some way today. God wants the doors opened up. This thing works great. Thanks, I can use this. You can just stay up here, James. I'm not totally finished yet, but just let him stay up here. You can start playing in a moment. After I read Psalm 27:1, you can play after that, please. But I'm asking you this morning here, as I wrap this up in a moment, you know, the Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man opens the door, I'll come into him and dine with him and he with me." He was talking there not to unbelievers. He's talking there to believers. "Behold, I stand at the door of the church," the Christian's hearts, "and I knock. If any man opens those doors up to me for their destinies and their callings, I will come into them, I will sup and dine with them, and they with me." What God is saying, there may be some closed hearts today, some closed doors that God wants opened up. Because you've got giftings inside your life that are not being released yet that God wants to release. Let's read Psalm 27, verse 1 through 4. David is fighting fear, being chased by Saul, his life's in danger. And he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked come against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and they fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may come against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." He needs to go through those gates into that temple and be there with the Lord. Then verse 5, the last part of verse 5 says this, "He shall set me high," notice this, "upon a rock." As I was praying here on Friday, Holy Spirit said, "I want you to realize that I removed rocks or stones in some big areas of the Bible to do some big things that brought some big results." For example, the Bible says that David removed 5 stones from a brook, and 1 stone killed the giant. He removed the stone, and God used the stone to defeat the strong man. You see that? Moses takes the rock of Jacob on Jacob's pillow that day into Israel. The Israelites on Moses' worst day want to stone him for lack of water. They're going to die of drought. He takes and hears God's voice, and God says, "Strike the rock and I'll bring forth water." And he strikes the rock that was under Jacob's head, and water gushes out, and the people of Israel receive not just water, but as time went by, they received even food and nourishment from that rock. On his worst day, God says, "Take the rock out of Egypt, bring it into the wilderness. I'll do miracles with that." Lazarus, on his worst day, dies and is put behind a stone. Jesus Christ shows up and says, "Roll the stone away." And he comes out 4 days dead, not stinking, not deteriorated there, not decomposing, but totally whole by the power of God. Jesus Christ, on his worst day, dies on the cross, and is buried also behind a stone in a tomb. We all know where it says again, the stone was rolled away. Angels were there to attend him. Jesus Christ rose from the dead as King of kings and Lord of lords, and he rules and reigns forevermore. And back to Jacob. Jacob removes a stone from someplace somewhere as a pillow under his head, for a pillow for his head. And that stone, that rock, is a place that God says, this is a certain place, a holy place. I'm going to turn what is ordinary into something that is extraordinary. And I'm going to bring something holy out of what appears to be unholy and unimpressive. God is saying today, well, let him take a rock out of our life, perhaps. That rolled stone, that removed stone, will bring forth a opened door and open gates to God. Say, "God, you can now meddle in my business. And those giftings and callings you placed inside of my life, I'm going to dine with you and sup with you and you with me," and say, "Father God, now open up to me doors of service, of ministry, of blessing others." Verse 6 goes on in Psalm 27 and says, "And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle gathering."
I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Have you ever heard the verse in Isaiah that says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength? That word in the Hebrew language for wait, it actually means those who gather together in God's name will renew their strength. The word for church in New Testament is the word ecclesia. Ecclesia means the gathering of God's people. God says your strength gets renewed by coming together like this in Jesus' name. When you leave this place today, you should be stronger than when you came in, because God's anointing and presence is here today to strengthen you, to encourage you, to bless you, and to bring increase into your life. Amen? So when our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning today, I want to say that God has given us a house of God, a gateway to heaven, a church of the second chance. What God is saying to us is, I'm knocking on the door by appeals by people like Loretta Masters and Richard Masters, by folks like James and the praise team, by folks like Carlos back in the sound booth, by folks like Nate and Sarah in the youth ministry, by folks like Maria back here in the nursery, Marie, by folks again like Kristen and Jeremy that work up there with children's ministry, by folks that work with ushers like Charlie, Eddie, Damian Hancock, by folks who do outreach ministries here around this city here with nurseries, nursing homes, and so forth, like Sun and others, Therese, folks to help her out as well. People that work in missions work, like Jack Adams, do outreaches here in our own communities here, like himself, those who work with him. I can name name after name of people already doing some things where there's already open doors in their lives. I mean, God is saying, I want to open the door of your life up. For Tree of Life Church to become and be what God wants it to become, we must be people of the open door. I've seen local churches named Gateway Church. I've seen churches named Church of the Open Door. God is saying all local churches must have that in their hearts. My heart is opened, O God, to take the giftings you place inside of me and use them to bless others in Jesus' name. Help me, Father, I pray this day to identify what is in me, O God, by your Spirit. Let that treasure box be opened up, buried no longer. And I praise you, God. I'm going to see that you come into me and then go out from me to distribute those treasures in the highways and byways of life in the name of Jesus. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed now at the end of this service, I want to ask first of all today, does your heart even know God? Is your heart actually possessed and controlled and lived in by Jesus Christ himself? Because the Bible tells us we must be born again, which means our spirit man is totally dead until Jesus Christ awakens and makes our spirit man come alive by receiving Christ as Savior. That only happens not by church membership, by good works, or by giving to the poor. It only happens by saying, I am a sinner and I can't save myself, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I need a Savior. And the only Savior, as the Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. It only takes Jesus, him only, to receive salvation, calling upon his name, asking forgiveness of our sins, and saying, Father, I praise you, and I bless you, and I thank you, and I ask you this day, forgive me of my sins. Be my God, be my Lord, be my Savior. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, I receive your forgiveness. Ask for it today, and I receive that and thank you for that. It's all it takes, simple prayer like that, meaning a prayer like that, it's all it takes to be born again, to get the spirit man to come alive and to have God come inside of your heart and take sin from you and write your name in the Lamb's book of life. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed for privacy's sake. Is anyone here today, would you be honest and say, that's me today? I don't want to leave this place, for I know in my heart that I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I don't want to leave here until I know my heart is right with God today. Would you raise one hand right now to up in the air if you're like that today? Anybody at all? I see hands over there, but anybody in the middle here on my left like that today? Just raise your hand. All right, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's all stand up, please, for a moment. You ones that raise your hands today, again, I'm going to have a male and a female, or perhaps with Jack Adams and one female with him, be over here to talk with you after the service and pray with you. But I want those that are here, these last minutes here of the service, if you will agree today to let God knock on the door of your heart and you'll answer that call, that knock, and not put up a sign that says no soliciting, take that sign down and say, I am available to be used by the Lord. If you'll say it today, let's just raise one hand to God right now. If we do that, let's just pray for ourselves right now. Father, with my hand raised up, I ask you, and I say to you, I am available to do your will, to be your servant, to be led by your Spirit, and take from the treasures, God, you placed inside of me, and let them be used, O God, to bless others in the name of Jesus. It may be apostolic, prophetic, teaching, pastoral, evangelistic, healing, or a treasure. It may be praise and worship. It may be a realm of healing, the realms of giving. But I say, Father God, whatever those realms may be, I say my heart, my life is open to you to be used, O God, as a blessing in your kingdom to help others, serve others in this local church and beyond this local church in the name of Jesus. I give you thanks and praise right now, O God. You're patient with me. You don't judge me nor condemn me of things I've not done in times past. But you say today is a day of salvation and of God's grace and of God's goodness. I say from this day forward, I commit myself to be a person with an open heart to receive your direction, your open heavens, your open doors to bless others. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. Let's give God right now a hand clap of praise to seal that. Say, thank you, O God, that's me. And I believe that God's going to honor that in us. God's going to give you opportunities to use your gifting, your motivation, your passion to bless others. Start out with small things. Those who are faithful in little, he'll put over much in due time. Chris Sanchez was faithful in little in this church, doing all kinds of work behind the scenes while he was here. He's now in a great big old church in Iowa. I pray for him in Iowa, but he's in Iowa. But there's a great big good church there, and God's using his couple here in great ways to be a blessing to his kingdom. Amen. And I can say that of so many people, the same story. They were faithful in little things, and God's given them much, much more as time goes by. God does that. Amen. Well, praise God. I'm going to have Dwight come to the front here. If you would help us out, Dwight, to dismiss us in prayer today. And you guys be blessed this week. If you can, come back Wednesday night. I'm going to carry on with this series called Heroes from the book of Daniel. So you'll enjoy that. It's going to be a good teaching. Be here at 7 o'clock. There's no dinner being served. No food being served. Come at 7 Wednesday night. It's going to be a great teaching here. About three more parts to go. Book of Daniel, Heroes of the Bible. It's going to be a blessing. Be blessed this week. Love you, folks. May God use all of us this week for his glory, for his name. It's only God can do. God bless you. Did I forget anything else, Cheryl, for the end? Lunch for youth. Chipotle's close to the water park. All right. God bless you.
Thank you, dear Lord, for this wonderful message today that it sets in our hearts so dearly that we ask you just to take us and guide us, continue to lead those and many others in your name. We thank you so much for this wonderful place today to come and worship your precious name in your holy name, dear Lord Jesus.